warning, there's truth up ahead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in Your Life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. And I'm not in a very good mood today. I've just read through the story in the Denver Post. Now, this story ran when at Denver Bible Church, we were all so excited, having a wonderful day, moved into our brand new facility at Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada. And that same day, December 18th, 2005, the Denver Post ran this story about parents in the Denver area in Broomfield who had a child with cerebral palsy, 5 years old, and they decided to starve him to death. And they starved him to death. It took weeks for him to die. And they did this with the support of Children's Hospital, Porter's Hospital, a local social worker, and the pastor of a megachurch. Now, the Denver Post article did not mention the name of the megachurch, but we'll do that on this program. The article was written by Kevin Simpson of the Post, and it's titled Letting Go, Dylan's Last Days. And I'm going to read you excerpts of this article. They talk about Dave Walborn, the dad. His son was 32 pounds, and he held him up, his hand behind his lolling head, and gazed into his open but vacant blue eyes. And throughout this article is a justification for the right of parents to starve to death their children if, and in the article, as you go along, you get different reasons why it's right to kill your child. It's a mercy killing, you see. That's the argument that some people are better off dead, and so therefore parents and loved ones, doctors, social workers, hospitals should kill the people who are disabled in some way or ill, people who are not dying, but who are difficult to care for, and they should kill them, not letting them die. It's one thing to let a dying person die. It's okay to die. It's not okay to kill someone. And little Dylan was not dying. If he was dying, they would not have to had to starve him to death over a period of weeks. So the father said to his son, Dylan, it's okay if you want to go. I don't want you hanging on for me. And so here is Kevin Simpson quoting the father. He spent a lot of time with the parents in these last few weeks. And the article says, maybe it was time to let go. That's the analysis that Kevin Simpson is making to the dad's statement to his five-year-old boy, to let go. And so maybe it was time to let go, or to put it another way, I'll add, Bob Enyart, maybe it's time to starve this boy to death. He had a stroke, the little boy did, in utero. When he was in his mom's womb, he had a stroke, and so he was left virtually blind and deaf, immobile, and unable to communicate or perform any voluntary function. Now, they say that as you go on in the article, there's some things that the baby does, the little boy, that seem to be responsiveness, for example, when his mother reads him stories. But regardless, human beings, weak and vulnerable human beings, like babies, infants, you know, they can't survive on their own. And the weak and the handicapped, they need us, but we need them. Because if we start killing them, what that does to us is despicable. It turns us into those who will kill the weakest and most vulnerable among us. And then, of course, we justify it as a wonderful thing that we've done. They say that he would have expressions of pain or calm. All right, expressions of pain or calm, but nothing that his relatives, doctors, or nurses could decipher as joy. So there's a standard there through the article. Kevin Simpson is inserting reasons to justify why it's okay to starve to death a five-year-old boy. Well, he didn't show anything they could describe as joy. He would have expressions of pain. He might occasionally cry. He did. Or at other times he might show calm, but no joy. So there's another reason for killing him. No joy. Dave, the dad, who's 32 years old, and the mom, Carrie, K-E-R-R-I, she's 35, they had heard predictions that little Dylan would not see his first birthday, but Dylan saw that one and three more. So he was about 4.5 years old, going on 5 years old. And these anniversaries brought no corresponding developments, no milestones, no first steps, no first words, no first anything. And so here's another reason for killing him, because he didn't develop as you would want a little boy to develop. He didn't do that. He failed. The parents were not married, and they were engaged. They got engaged weeks after Dylan's birth, but there was difficulty caring for a severely disabled child, and they called it off. All right, that's in the story in the Denver Post. The boy had seizures, which over this fifth year, over this summer, they had intensified. And sometimes his body would shake. And they described it as sometimes short bursts every few seconds to frightening episodes of as long as 40 minutes. And he would have these, perhaps three or four times a day, his body going into some type of spasms. At other times, he would shiver uncontrollably. Dave and Kerry could try to blunt the escalating seizures with drugs, but Kevin Simpson points out that would render their son effectively comatose. In other words, they could give him stronger and stronger painkillers, but then he would be effectively comatose, which tells me that they're all admitting, even the Denver Post, that he's not effectively comatose. He's a little boy who's severely brain damaged by a stroke when he was in the womb, and he has cerebral palsy. Or they could withdraw life support. In Dylan's case, the nourishment delivered, he was tube-fed. Just like our little friend at church, Brandon, is tube-fed. Scott Risley, that's how they feed their son. Tube-feeding. It's for them, it's easier than feeding him through the mouth orally. And little Brandon, he sounds a lot like little Dylan. So we could kill Brandon too. In fact, there's thousands of babies and young children in America who could be killed with the justification in this Denver Post article. In fact, supported by the pastor, an assistant pastor at a local mega church. And we'll get to that soon enough. So national experts on child hospice and palliative care point to 1 million kids in the United States who live with a serious, chronic, or life-threatening condition. How's that? 1 million kids. So let's assume they're overestimating by a bit. There's at least many hundreds of thousands of kids who could be killed. Think of all the joy we could bring in the world, all the parents we could free up, time from caring for their children, less emotional suffering, because it's very difficult to watch your child when your child is sick or sad or depressed or ill or handicapped or born blind. That's very, very difficult for parents to deal with. What if you have a child who's, we were in Florida, our whole family, 2 weeks ago, and we're with my little nephew, Zachary, and he has Down syndrome. Do you know how much work it is for his mom and his dad to care for him? He's got pretty severe Down syndrome. Boy, you know, he's one of the ones that's perhaps a candidate. Maybe he should be killed. You know, he'd be better off. and it would free up his parents. The chairman of the ethics committee at Denver's Children's Hospital estimates that he has participated in hundreds of cases where nutrition or other life-sustaining measures were ceased over the past 20 years, and he's with Children's Hospital. He's the chairman of the ethics committee. And so what? It's legal in Colorado to kill your child by starving him to death? That's legal? Apparently it's legal. It's de facto legal, right? We've got a nurse who works at hospice who is planning to come on Bob and Yurt Live to talk with us about the move toward systematically killing patients. It's just becoming de facto a common occurrence. So Children's Hospital, that's a place to go if it's really difficult emotionally to see your handicapped child suffer. Children's Hospital is a place for parents to go to get advice and consult and encouragement on their decision to kill their baby or kill their child. And of course, we all have warned for years that abortion and the culture of death leads to more and more death, and that when you kill children in the womb, then the most wonderful and caring people in our society will advocate killing them outside of the womb also. And there's no obligation to go to heroic measures with extreme medical care to keep a body functioning. If someone is dying, they're ill, and they have a terribly advanced disease, and they're dying, it's okay to die. There's no moral obligation to take a virtual corpse and keep blood pumping through it. It's okay to die. It's not okay to kill innocent people. It's not okay to starve to death a child who's not dying. That's not okay. And even pro-lifers are confused about this because we've all become legal positivists and we think, well, you know, it's so hard on the parents and it's so hard on the child. There are a lot of circumstances that are really, really difficult. How about kids in Sri Lanka after the tsunami and they lost everybody and maybe they were severely injured? And so what? Put a bullet through their head. Because look at the suffering they got to go through and who is there to care for them. And so some people are just better off dead, so let's kill them. And then young people grow up in a society where they see responsible leaders supposedly killing children to solve problems, and then they experience their own problems. And it's a teenage girl, and she lost her boyfriend to her best friend, and so she has to solve her pain. So she kills herself because that's acceptable in society. Killing people to solve problems, innocent people, is wrong. And there's nothing unclear or gray about that. So the mother, Carrie, she had accepted the possibility of withdrawing life support months ago, the Denver Post writes, as Dylan's bad days began to outnumber his good ones. So there's another test. If you have a child, maybe you have a grandfather, and if their bad days outnumber their good days, there's another check mark in the column of it's okay to kill them because they have more bad days. And that also tells us that this little boy also had good days. Would Dylan choose death over his deteriorating life? That's what the father wanted to know. Would his son choose death over his deteriorating life? Well, first of all, the little boy is 5 years old. But second of all, even if you are capable of making decisions for yourself, it's always wrong to choose suicide. It's always wrong to kill yourself. That's wrong. God, Jesus Christ, called us to follow him, and he didn't say, and if things get rough, if it's really hard to care for your children, go ahead and kill them. But follow me, but when things get too rough, you can kill those around you who make it really hard. Oh, you could kill them for their own sake because you know what? They're better off dead. Well, the world has already tried that approach, and we've seen where it leads. So then the Denver Post, Kevin Simpson, writes about a pastor on the staff of a large non-denominational church that knew Carrie and Dave, and he had prayed with them in the past regarding Dylan. And so they set up an appointment with him, and he came. And for the most part, he gave them support in their decision. Now, his name, he's Pastor Buddy Kahn, and he's with Victory Church. You know that, local megachurch, senior pastor Mike Ware. And here's Pastor Buddy Kahn, and I hope and pray that some people at that church, some Christians, some pro-lifers, will speak to the pastors and say and remind them of how wrong it is to kill, to starve to death, innocent children, even if the children have a rough life, even if they're suffering, it's not right to kill them. So this pastor, Buddy Kahn, on staff at Victory Church, you know, that's up north on Sheridan in Westminster. So the Denver Post did not name the church, which is unusual. They named everything else. So Pastor Buddy must have asked them, don't put the name of our church in the story. So he prayed for Dylan's healing, whether on earth or in heaven. In the "or in heaven" part, that sounds like an out. But everybody gets healed in heaven. There's no disease in heaven, so you don't really have to pray for somebody to be healed in heaven. But anyway, he prayed for Dylan's healing, whether on earth or in heaven. And he said, "Mom just wanted to know, have I fought the good fight? Have I finished the race?" And I guess if you're talking about raising your kid and you kill your child, you starve him to death, well then, yeah, you finished the race. Yeah, you finished. The pastor said she felt she had. She felt she had fought the good fight. She's a believer, so she leans on God for her day-to-day guidance. I believe God gave her an answer in the afternoon. That they called him that morning, 8 a.m., and they decided that day, they prayed together, the mother, the father, Pastor Buddy Kahn of Victory Church. And he said, I believe God gave her the answer. And what was the answer? To starve to death little Dylan. And it would take weeks for his little body to wither and die. That's when Carrie and Dave, the parents, drove to Children's Hospital, where they met Dylan's neurologist, his pediatrician, and two members of Children's Hospital's ethics committee. Dylan's case was one of about five each year that come to their ethics committee for consultation on removing nutrition, or we could also call that starvation. So Children's Hospital considers five or so cases a year where should we starve this child to death because the child is suffering. And so the chairman of the committee says that most of the time that doctors allow death to occur without consulting the ethics committee. In other words, most of the time the doctors will agree with the parents, consent with the parents, advise, whatever role the doctors play in starving to death a child, and the ethics committee doesn't consider it. But when the ethics committee does consider it, you know, if it's anything like the euthanasia movement in Germany, this was before they killed a single Jew. What we'll find out is that typically they decided to kill the child, starve the child to death. Because there's something about shedding innocent blood and killing the innocent. There's something about that that once you start doing it, it's almost irresistible. In a small examination room, this is how it happens. The parents laid out their wish to end their son's suffering. The two ethics consultants from the committee, a doctor and a nurse, asked if they'd explored all known medical avenues. How's that? So that's another, when you're checkmarking whether you can kill your child, you have to find out, well, did we do everything we can think of to do? Did you explore all known medical avenues? The neurologist explained the futility of treatment. The pediatrician described Dave and Carrie's commitment to their son as heroic. You know, heroes do save children, but they don't then typically kill the child at the end. satisfied, the ethics committee members concurred that the hospital could support removal of life support, in this case, food. And that's what it says in the Denver Post. Kevin Simpson, he got that right. Life support, in this case, food, as an ethical option. So Children's Hospital, when you have a real tough case, one of their solutions in the doctor's medical bag that they bring, make home house calls, one of the solution is kill the child. It's merciful, you know. It's merciful. And Carrie and Dave, then they talked about a date, and they agreed to stop Dylan's feeding on the following Sunday. This is back in late October. Then Dave made a suggestion. On Saturday before medication rendered Dylan entirely unresponsive, they could gather friends and relatives to celebrate the ways that their son had touched so many lives. And then the article goes on to describe a rather grotesque gathering of family members and friends, knowing that the parents are now going to starve the baby to death. And this is the last time they would all see this little boy. Sorry, I keep referring to him as a baby. He was like a little baby, right? He couldn't crawl. He's like a little baby. The visitors came in waves, friends, cousins, aunts, and uncles, to the suburban split-level house, and eventually they gravitated to a rocking chair in the far corner of the living room. Dylan Walborn, resting in the arms of his grandma, Vicky Saez, stares blankly at guests in what appears to be a state of semi-consciousness. So there's another checkmark in the yes, you can kill your child column if he stares blankly at guest. But you notice they wanted the guest to come and see him before they gave him these extra drugs. Why? Because he would not be entirely unresponsive. You notice that? Not even that that matters, but the point is once the culture begins killing children, then they exaggerate. They try to make the child out to be a vegetable. And they exaggerate. Why exaggerate? Just say you're killing this child and just give your reasons. Don't exaggerate and make him sound less of a little boy that he is. Grandma Vicky is holding Dylan. She smiles. She says, I've been praying since he was born for a miracle. I never got that miracle, but then maybe I did. He's brought me a lot of joy. She says she has known since her grandson was 3 that he would not live past age 5. God told her, she says. Suddenly one day, she just knew God said he's going to die when he's 5. So the parents are killing him. So it works out perfectly, right? It's a prophecy. And then the mother talks about on her cell phone, she keeps seeing her grandmother's name who had passed away. Her grandmother's name pops up on the screen. And she says that's like a sign that their grandmother is saying, I'll take care of him when he gets here. That's mentioned twice in this article. Now, I want to go to the phone because I have on the line the vice president of Colorado Right to Life, Leslie Hanks. Leslie, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hi, Bob.
So, Leslie, you've read this article?
I have.
I'm devastated by it. Just devastated. And it turns out that it took 24 days of not being fed for this little Dylan to die.
It's unbelievable, isn't it? As I'm listening to you go through this article, I mean, I certainly empathize with any parent that's struggling in a scenario like this, so don't let me make light of...
Oh, right. It's a devastating difficulty.
Exactly. But some of the statements, that as you're reading them, I just feel like I'm in a Twilight Zone episode. The stuff is just unreal.
That's exactly right. Now, tonight, that night when the family and friends came over, this was their last feeding. Let me read a little bit of this to you. A little before 9 p.m., Mom, Carrie, settles Dylan into her lap. Do you know how much I love you? She whispers to her son. I don't think you do. The medication has kicked in and his eyelids droop shut, but there is something his mother must do. She slides on her reading glasses and begins to read a thin illustrated volume called Piggy Pie. It's probably a cute kid story, right?
Right.
Are you ready? She asks. Other times when the medication failed to knock him out, Dylan's eyes would grow large, perhaps because Carrie changed her tone and inflection for each character. Tonight, he does not stir. So they gave whatever medication they gave him. And in the past, as she's reading the story, his eyes would respond to her and the different characters she's reading out.
Right.
You know, this is a little boy, and he's brain damaged. He's handicapped. He's got cerebral palsy. He had a stroke. But you don't kill a child because he's suffering.
Well, now, if you go to the top of that page, though, Bob, this is part of Dylan's journey. His journey has begun.
Right.
We don't call it, you know, killing him. This is the journey.
This is his journey. And Kevin Swanson on Judgment Day, Kevin Simpson on Judgment Day, when he stands before the Lord, this article will be one of the things that will be brought against him unless he repents.
I would say so, and I have really in the past thought of him as being a very serious journalist for the Denver Post, but this article is very disturbing. And I think I might have not mentioned this to you earlier, but yesterday when I brought it to your attention that one of the things I was most disturbed about this article is that the Denver Post said that they were given special privileges to chronicle this little boy's murder, sorry for that term, but that's what it is.
Yeah.
With the proviso, they would get the exclusive with the proviso that they not go public with the story until the little boy was effectively dead. And so I said to you, I think that's just astonishing. I can't believe that a paper could cut a deal like that. It's just so bizarre to me.
Yeah.
And so then after I was working yesterday afternoon after you and I chatted about that, I started questioning in my own mind about whether or not I could have misled you, because I thought, that can't be that they really could have done that. So when I got to my destination yesterday, I went back through the article again, and sure enough, they did cut a deal.
Yeah, and I guess it's legal in Colorado to starve to death your child if you concur, maybe your doctor agrees, that the child's life he's better off dead. And so then they talk about the process when he died, those last moments, and it is the 24th day since they stopped feeding their son, and little Dylan died. And the father said in this article that he was fighting with himself every day whether or not he was doing the right thing. I ask myself, then I answer, then I ask again. It's the same thing every 2 minutes. He says, I know we're doing the right thing. He was wrong there, but I still ask. You know, the right thing shouldn't create that kind of turmoil in a father's mind and in his heart.
I have a note next to my copy of this that says, why is that? Conscience?
Yeah, Leslie Hanks, our culture is in a rapid moral meltdown. One of the main reasons is that our national Christian leaders have adopted legal positivism, where we elevate man's law, which ultimately means our culture and popular opinion. We elevate man's law above God and above thou shalt not murder. And we are seeing now a common occurrence of people killing their children. Thank you for joining us, Leslie Hanks.
Thank you, Bob.
I appreciate you bringing this story to my attention. We're out of time.
Hello, I'm Josh Craddock, and at 14 years old, I'm a little partial to Bob and Yart's manuscript, The Plot, since I helped with The Plot Boys, a series of audio Bible studies for junior high and high school students like me who want to dig deeper and better understand the Bible. The Plot is an overview of the entire Bible, because once you understand the overview of the Bible, then you have the key to understanding its details. And that's what makes the entire Bible fun to read. So please order your copy of The Plot today. Call 1-800-836-9278. That's 1-800-836-9278. Or go to kgov.com. That's kgov.com. And remember, your support, both prayerfully and financially, keeps Bob and Yart live on the air. Thank you.